Just lift up your hands as we worship Him. Our God is awesome. How great You are, God. Mighty are Your miracles. We love You, Jesus. Reference God with your worship this morning. Hallelujah. And holy and high You God, all creation, they call You God, and worthy is Your name, and we worship Your majesty. And awesome God, a greater heart, and You are God, mighty are Your miracles, standing on of Your holy name. And Lord, we bow and worship You, and who
Thank you, Lord. We bow and we worship you. Awesome God. That's who you are. Omniscient. All-knowing. Omnipresent. Everywhere present. Omnipotent. All-powerful. You are all that and more. Timeless God. Faithful. In all of your ways. We worship you. We surrender our lives to you. And we say, Father, speak to us tonight. Teach us. Holy Spirit, reveal the word of truth to us. Not just that we may know in our brains, but know by the transformation that takes place. Because your word has been fully activated and assimilated. Oh God, do something. Do something, Father. Do something with us. And help us be everything you know we can be. Oh, Most High. Oh, Most High. We call upon you. We call upon you. Yeshua, we call upon you. Help us now to be more like you. In our attitudes, in our talk, in all that we do. Exalted Father, be exalted in us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank God for another opportunity to search the Word of God together, to be quickened in our spirit concerning the integrity of God's Word and what the Word of God can do in us and with us. Tonight, I thank God for everyone here present. No one is here by accident. We're all here because of the eternal grace of God that is activated in our lives. We've been studying through the book of Proverbs. And we've come right through verse 1 through 6. Last week, I went back and we never did get back to verse 6, even though we've covered that much. So today, rather than be tempted to go back and restate and rehearse what we've talked about, and there's still more to talk about than those passages of scripture that we've looked at already. Let us go on to the 7th verse. It says in the 7th verse, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. In essence, the Word of God is saying that there are certain things that you should not expect from certain people. Don't expect excellent speech from a fool, and don't expect lies from a prince. Princes should not lie. Amen. And when we are people of honor, lying should not be part of our lives. What is a lie? A lie, in a very simple sense, is that which is not true. The Word of God says all liars will spend their time in the lake of fire. A lie is a sham. A lie is deception. So, in a sense, the falsity of a lie is that it is pretending to be that which is true. That's a lie. So lies can sometimes not be very obvious. It is the representation of the truth without the truth being present. That's a lie. It's a lie if God says in His Word that I am a saint and I believe that I am a sinner. Because the standard of truth is God, not man. Let me say that again. The standard of truth is God, not man. So the Lord will say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So the standard of measurement of what truth is how does it relate from God's perspective on a matter. And what God's word is saying to us, beyond just the natural aspect of much less to line lips a prince, is that if we are princes in God, that God is expecting us to speak the language of God concerning a matter. Okay. So, let's say physically I'm sick. But the Word of God says, by His stripes ye were healed. I am sick is a lie. Because by the Word of God, I am the healed. Because that's what the Word of God says. I am broke and poor. It's a lie. Because the truth is, my needs are met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I am weak. That's a lie. Because His word says, I'm strong in the Lord. That makes sense? So, basically, what God is forcing us to do is to think from God's perspective, not on the natural perspective, for to be carnally minded is enmity with God. God wants me to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. So He says, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the sick say I'm healed. He said, but you're sick. Yes. I am sick, walking now in divine health. I have divine health. The Word of God says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So I say, my soul is prospering in the wisdom of God. I see myself the way God sees me this very moment. And I express thanksgiving to God that my body is functioning in divine health. I remember many years ago, a statement that the Lord made to me. It was very simple, but profound. He said, all of my word and my promises, I command to be obeyed. I said, huh? Your promises, I command to be obeyed? He said, yes. Huh. I said, Lord, I don't understand. Are you telling me that if I'm sick and your promise is that I'm healed, there's a command to be obeyed? He said, yes. And so I said, how does that work? I need wisdom here. I need wisdom. How does this work? He said, you tell your body to obey the command of the Lord. Huh? So I am sick. My liver is sick. I tell my liver to obey the word of the Lord. He said, yes, that's what you tell your liver. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You tell that liver, if you don't change right now and obey the word of the Lord, you are going to be taken out and replaced. I said, replaced from what? He said, I have body parts. Oh, my Lord, the word of the Lord. Wow. That was freeing. I said, I can see that now. I can see how every promise of God is a command to be obeyed. This is that the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Wow. Wow. I said, okay. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. It is a fool that says there is no God. So fools can't speak excellent words. But now that I know that there is a God, then the words that come out of my mouth must be excellent words. Excellent. They are proper words. Proper words are coming out of my mouth, declaring the superiority of the word of God over my circumstance. Amen? That's powerful. You know, so as we are embracing the word of God, we're saying, God, I'm a prince under your lordship. So my words must align itself with what you have already declared to be true. And no matter what my circumstance is, my life is not by circumstances. It is led by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God gives me life, not death. So I'm going to say what God's word says. It says, the power of life and death are in the tongue. And my tongue needs to say what God's word says. When I react to things, I'm going to say things that God's word doesn't say. What God wants me to do is respond. respond by saying what God's word says. So the Lord Jesus Christ did it this way. It is written. That's what's written. And even though the enemy resisted the it is written, Jesus came to that third level and he says, it is said. To show to us that we have to take what is written to the level of saying. And it's at that point that the devil left him. He didn't leave when he said it is written. It took him to another place. It is written, took him to another place. And as soon as Jesus says, it is said, Bible says, the devil left. But this person knows what is, he's applying what really is, his. And God is calling us to come to that place where we are declaring his divine purposes. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says a gift is as a precious stone. In some translations, it will say a bribe. It says it is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. A gift. It's precious to the one who has it. And it says, whichsoever it turneth, it prospereth. Every which way turns, he sees that gift creating opportunities. What does that say to us? When God gives you a gift, receive it. Because that gift becomes precious. If you don't receive the gift God is giving to you, you don't know how precious it is. You're undermining it. And how do I put this? A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. This particular statement is coming at us from two perspectives. Before it became a gift to you, somebody had it. And depending on how special that person is, determines what kind of gift they give to you. Now, because a very well-to-do person, a great king, let's put it that way, a great king, a wealthy, prosperous king, does not have shabby things around him. So even the least thing that that king has is special. Are we together so far? So even if the king signs a piece of toilet paper. Huh? The honor and the glory of that king through that signature on that toilet paper makes that toilet paper special. If you kept that toilet paper that's signed by this real great king, keep it for a few years and see how much people will pay for that. Yeah? Because of the glory of the giver. Now, we've got to see that from God's perspective, that whatever God gives to me is special. And I, who has that gift, I become special because of the gift that came from the giver, who is God. That makes sense? So why do we spend our time thinking about ourselves as nothing? Or allow other people to speak their nothingness into our lives when God has already blessed me? He says, Balaam says, the Lord has blessed and I cannot reverse it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Is that what it says? And there's no sorrow added. The blessing of the Lord is the gift of God. It is like that precious stone. First in the eyes of him that hath it, has the present tense continuous aspect to it, but hath also has a past tense attached to it. So this is a transfer from the one who had it and now the one who has it. I now become the one that has it. Now I need to see how precious that gift is. Unfortunately, many times we do not see with our eyes how special we are. You say, how special? Well, the price that God paid to save you was the price of God himself. The price that God paid to save you and I was the price of God. If that's me, and this is God, and he paid the price to get me from the agora, the marketplace of sin, from the claws of the enemy to redeem me, he paid the precious blood of Jesus. Yeah? But Jesus is God. So the price that bought me and brought me into the kingdom of God is the price of God. So I have the value and the worth of God. No matter what my worth used to be, by the very fact that he purchased me, put my value at a different level. Now let's go back to that toilet paper. The signature of the king put value on a useless toilet paper. Now the toilet paper was maybe worth $2. All of a sudden, it's now worth millions just because the king signed on it. Can you see that? And so now, whichsoever that toilet paper goes, it prospered. Whichsoever I go, I prosper because his name is on me. His name is what's opening doors for me. His authority is opening doors for me. The devil does not listen to me. He listens to the one who's backing me. But I need to know how precious that authority and that power is so that I can move freely with authority. And my value is not based on what I did. It's based on the one who has marked me. That's who gave me value. That's who gave me value. I need to grow in that value. That God has loved me with an everlasting love. That gives me value. Now, is there nothing that I need to do? Well, the word of God says in a great house there are many vessels. Those who want to be vessels of gold and vessels of silver, vessels of honor, need to act in particular ways. They need to not embrace certain things in their lives, so that they can be vessels of honor and not vessels of dishonor. So based on how I see with my eyes, what God has done is going to determine how I carry myself on a daily basis. Do I carry myself like a fool? Well, then I must think that whatever God did was not good enough. Well, if I try to save myself by my works, then I'm living that lie because I'm not saved by my works. It is His loving kindness and His tender mercies that brought about my salvation. You are saved by grace through faith, and that not by yourself. It is a gift of God. So if I'm trying to walk salvation based on my doings, I did this, I did that, that's what, then I'm living a lie. That's not the truth. The truth is God did it all. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Everything that I'm doing is because of what he has done. That makes sense? Amen. Now, verse 9, let's leave that alone or else we'll be stuck there for a long time. And we're just scratching the surface on that verse. It says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separated very friends. What a deep, deep truth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. That's a powerful truth. The Word of God says, love covereth a multitude of sins. What is the spiritual truth that God is wanting us to embrace here? It is this, that you don't live your life trying to show the nakedness of people. It is not tolerating their wrong. That's not the point. It is seeking to bring about a covering for them until they are restored. The Bible tells us about at least two situations where the nakedness of a father was exposed. And the curse that came about because of it. People do wrong things. And so easy to expose people that have done wrong. God's first approach is, how do I cover this nakedness? And he showed us what he did in the garden when they were trying to cover themselves with leaves. He slew an animal and got the skin of the animal to cover their nakedness. Now, that did not mean that God tolerated their situation. He covered their nakedness first and foremost before the punishment. He covered their nakedness. deal with issues, but don't expose and bring the person to a place of shame. That's the idea. Shaming people is not the idea that God wants us to pursue. Putting people down, coming into agreement with that, becomes a lie. Is God not wanting to address sin? Absolutely, he wants to address sin. He wants to address sin as a separate factor rather than destroying the person. Why do we destroy people when they've done something wrong? To prove that we're better than them. Look at you. Weak, nobody. I'm better than you. I don't do what you do. You know what? God hates that. So the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about two guys in the temple. One is blowing his own trumpet and telling God about how amazing he is, and that he's not like that other guy over there that's a mess up. And the guy over there is crying out and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, have mercy on me. He says, who do you think got out of that place? Okay. Not the guy who up here who's saying, I'm better than that guy. And the attitude that many times we take is, I'm better than him. All sin is sin. The problem many times is that nobody caught you in your sin. That's why you're still walking around. If we followed you 24/7, we might find you saying certain things that you don't have no place, no, you shouldn't be saying, or doing certain things that you shouldn't be doing, or whatever. You may have your reasons for it, but you judge somebody else. But when we seek love, when we seek love, we are seeking wholeness. We want wholeness for, not just for them, but for us. So Paul says, hey, be careful how you deal with stuff, because you might find yourself falling into the same thing. So don't start throwing stuff here and there and thinking you're all that. It's so easy for us to think, I'm all that. I'm not that person. I'm not that person. I'm better than this person. I'm better than... You know what? There's always somebody who's going to be better than you in some way or the other. Think you're the most handsome person in town? Well, somebody else may have preferences on what beauty looks like or handsomeness looks like, and you may not qualify to be the number one. Somebody else might be number one, because that's what looks right to them. So the Bible says, stop measuring yourself one with another. Seek love. And when you seek love, cover people. Love covereth a multitude of sins. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Now on the surface, now let's talk surface. He that covereth transgression is seeking the love of whoever it is that they are covering. We can see that, right? Well, look at this. if I have something on you, but I want your love and your acceptance, but I know what you did wrong, does that continue to be love or a power play? Well, you better act right or I'll blow your cover. Yeah? Okay. So that tells us that's not what it's talking about. The secret love is recognizing, hey, this person is like this. My flesh says I need to do this. But that's not what the right thing to do is. So I need to seek love. The Bible says God is what? God is love. So what does that say to me? It says that I seek God to find out what God has to say about this matter and how I should respond to this particular situation. What should I do about this? So here it is. I've gone this way. Now let's pull it together. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. We seek God to deal with this situation. The covering of the transgression is not the hiding of the transgression. The covering of the transgression is the dealing. We covered this case. That means we dealt with this case. Are we together now? Okay? So he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. We hear God to deal with the situation. Now, dealing with the situation from the perspective of love is very, very different in every situation. So what does that mean? I explain. John Doe did this and that, did that. And you deal with that situation this way. Ananias and Sapphira lied, right? And they died. In the book of Acts, did anybody else lie? And did not die? I threw a monkey wrench at you there. Okay, I see that, well, there was the sorcerer. Okay, that's a good one. Did they die? Wanted to trade money, right? The point is this. There are people that did things. Okay, a good one is this. Let me use Zechariah and Mary. Zechariah is doubting what the angel said. Yeah? Psh, mouth shut. Yeah? Mary asks a similar question. And her mouth was shut? No. Because every situation is not addressed the same exact same way. God's response to situations is handled in different ways. Somebody can get away with murder and God is just watching. and another person, you just take a little step, bang, there you are. I happen to fall into the category of once you take a step off, bang. And somebody else is doing all kinds of crazy stuff and they're getting away with it. Or at least that's what I think. But God is dealing with them based on what he wants to accomplish in them and through them. So if you're living your Christian life based on how God dealt with that person or how God dealt with that person, you'll be shocked. And sometimes the way we deal with issues, even in church or at your workplace, different strokes for different folk. But the issue is going to be addressed. He that covereth a transgression, whatever the transgression, seeketh love. So what is this seeketh love in this case? I want to hear what God has to say about this particular situation. What will God say about this? What should I do about this? How should I handle this? There's a young man called John Mark. In the eyes of Paul, he's messed up. Toss him out, throw him away. But another man of God, Barnabas, takes him in, nurtures him. And at the end of Paul's life, Paul is saying, oh, John Mark, he's the best. He's the best. He's the best. He's just an amazing person. Wait a minute, Paul. Did you throw this guy out? He's no good. But love covereth. He's taken care of. And now he becomes a gem, a blessing to the one who tossed him off. Sometimes we want to throw people out, but they might just be God's good gift, God's blessing. So don't just react to things of blah, 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 blah. Respond. Respond how? Go find out what God says about the matter. What is God saying? What is God saying? Some of the people that have blessed me, powerfully blessed my life, were people that I could have written off completely. It's like saying, let me put it this way. Some of the people that have been difficult in my life come from a particular country. They've done me wrong in so many ways that I could say, people from that country, all of you, you must be all the same. Because you did this. Every one of you that I've met did. Some of the people that have been the best blessing in my life are from that same place. The enemy wanted me to react and shut down everybody that was from that particular race because they were a problem. And if I shared some of the things that people say, oh, I can see why you felt that way. I can see that. But from the same place, the blessing. The blessing. People that blessed my life in incredible ways came from there. But if I'm just reacting, just like people react, oh, all black people are this, all Asian people are this, all, you know, English Caucasian people are like this. Guess what? You shoot yourself in the foot and never experience the blessing that God has for you. Because you're blocking people. But love covereth a multitude of sins. Take the limitations off of yourself, off of God, off of people, and just live. It says, he that repeateth a matter separated very friends. Separates friends. Very friends. Just keep on repeating stuff. You see, you separate people. That's the landmark of gossip. That's why God said that's the most dangerous thing that's happening in the church today is gossip. I was watching something this morning that came on my social media. And I watched that, and then it had a string of stuff. And so I watched that, just whiling away some time. And the Lord said to me, he said, you sure you want to do this? I said, what? What you're watching right now? I said, well, this is happening, right? I said, yeah, it's happening. Do you want to be part of this story? I said, no, of course, this is terrible. He said, then stop watching it. So I said, oh, okay. It was just video after video of pastors that were failing morally. And I'm watching, wow, they didn't do that. How can they do such a thing? How can they do such a thing? And God says, stop me right there. He says, you're watching that? Do you want to be part of this? No? Then don't watch it. Because while somebody was not telling me, that was gossip. Are you with me? That was gossip. What are you watching? What are you listening to? Because our ears want to listen to all kinds of titillating stories. Oh, wow. I'm so glad I'm not that. Keep on watching it, and you might just become that. Because you're feeding that into your spirit. You say, Pastor, you know, if you're doing something wrong, you come up and you fess up. Well, because I'm saying to you that no matter how spiritual you are, you can fall into particular tendencies erroneously. Deal with it. And let people know, yeah. You see, nobody, I can tell you this, nobody can blackmail me. You know why? Because before they blackmailed me, I would have told everybody, this is what I did. You don't need to come catch me. If I mess up, you'll be the first person to hear it. Because I'm saying, God can do all kinds of things in me and through me and by me and for me. And whatever I am this day, I am only by his grace and by his mercy. This is straight talk. That makes sense? So stop listening to gossip. In essence, it really doesn't help you, ultimately. It just creates an atmosphere. People do that. So what's so wrong about it? Before you know it, you start giving reasons why it is okay to do the wrong thing, because that's what has become familiar to you. And you're no longer sensitive to what God is saying. You've become hardened in your heart. And that's not God's will for any one of us. So we'll stop there. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Well, basically, that's what I just talked about. God reproved me and says, don't do that. Not good. So I guess I must be a wise man. Yeah, he says, don't do that. It looked very benign. Looked like, nothing. But not from God's perspective. From God's perspective, son, stop listening to that. That's not good. Okay, boss. And I must self-discipline to stay away from that. And actually, as I have closed, actually what led me to that particular page was something that was totally very spiritual, really good stuff that which seemed to be good. Oh my Lord. It's a guy that I like listening to. It's a comedy, not comedy. I don't know how to put it. He sorts of does skits, you know, dealing with different issues, and really powerful and spiritual and prophetic and all of that. And this guy was in this particular program, and I was watching it, and I'm saying, this is not right, this is not right. I don't think I like this too much. He's promoting his social media page, and he's praying for people, and he prays for this person and says, promote this, promote it, share it, this, blah, blah, blah. And then he'll say, what is your need? And he prays for it. He says, share it, share it, share it, share it. And the sharing means make me some money. That's what it means. So I'm watching this and I'm saying, I don't think this guy should be doing this kind of a show because he's monetizing something that he should not. If you're doing acts, drama, dealing with issues, and you're saying, share it because it's going to help somebody, that's great. But you laying hands on people and praying over and say, share it, share it. I don't like this too much. And that is what led me to watching all of these pastors that were messing up. Now it all comes together. Now that I'm talking about it, on how I got into that part, those particular pages. Even the social media or whatever, they knew this was wrong and pointed me to other people who are doing wrong stuff. Wow, interesting. I didn't think about it that way before, but that's what that was exactly. Anyway, we'll leave it there at this point, and I pray that God does a mighty work in all of our lives, and that we are seeking God for the decisions we make in terms of what's happening around us on a daily basis, recognizing that God wants to do exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think, recognizing that God wants to pour out of His Spirit into our lives and cause us to rise to higher levels of honor and integrity and power, walking victoriously, because He's a God who loves us with an everlasting love. I celebrate every one of you today, recognizing that God is going to use all of our lives mightily to glorify Him, glorify His name. I speak the peace of God over you. I declare by the authority of the word of God that you stand strong and mighty because the unction of His anointing is resting upon you, even that anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. I speak over you and pray that God will grant you supernatural speed, that the challenges that have faced you begin to collapse one after the other, like a domino effect. Let every circumstance begin to fall flat before you. I pray that God will raise you up by His Spirit and establish you in your going out and in your coming in, that peace will garrison your heart, that solutions will pour into your mind, that you will see beyond the natural and see beyond the walls, see behind the veil, that deception does not come and trip you, but that the truth of God will expose everything as it is, not as you wish it to be, but really as it is, and grant you the grace to respond in wisdom and in truth to every situation that stands before you. Let His power flow through you and flush out every parasite that is betraying your well-being in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that your destiny helpers locate you. That your destiny helpers are not resistant to helping you. That your destiny helpers do not hear the lies of the enemy, the distractors, but that they see through the lies and see where envy and jealousy is trying to operate, and that they cut through that nonsense to reach you, to help you. I pray that your destiny helpers get the help they need to be able to help you fulfill destiny. I call all this to be true. I call all this to be manifest for every one of us in this now and henceforth, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name, we say it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Release from your hands that which God has blessed you with. And may God breathe upon your seed sown and multiply your seed sown for His glory and honor. May increase be made manifest and every need be met. In His name's sake. Amen. Praise God. Well, bless you, those of you that are watching on YouTube and Facebook and Reddit and other platforms. We look forward to seeing you again. Our next time of meeting will be this Friday. Join us for a powerful time of prayer that is not aired on Facebook, YouTube, or other platforms, just on Zoom. And so we look forward to seeing you on Zoom. And of course, on Sunday will be our next main